Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 19, which says, "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Now, we've been looking here in this passage at some issues related to this crown that the Apostle Paul is saying is a possession of the members of the body of Christ. And as he's starting to discuss this, he's, you know, we left off with this thing where he's saying, "Even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming." So he's discussing how the members of the body of Christ have a guarantee of the fact that we are going to be in his presence when he returns at the event that's known as the Day of Christ. And how every member of the body of Christ, and you become a member of the body of Christ by putting your trust in the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and someone putting their trust in that and that alone for their salvation, that's what makes someone a member of the body of Christ. And there's a guarantee that Paul says that we're kept as members of the body of Christ. We can go, for example, to look at, let's go to Ephesians chapter number 1 for a moment to see this discussion of this guarantee that we have. And here in Ephesians chapter number 1, we're going to read here verses 13 and 14. And it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." We see how the Apostle Paul identifies the fact that we have that guarantee of our salvation by the fact that we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That the Spirit is actually the seal that keeps us in the body of Christ. And when you look at the idea of a seal, that a seal not only does it keep things out, but it keeps something in. And you look at the idea of typically a seal, something is sealed inside of a container, so that way it cannot get out. And the only way that you can get whatever it is out of that container is that you have to break the seal to be able to get it out. And when we look at the body of Christ, that the only way someone could get out of the body of Christ would be that they would have to break that seal. And if the Spirit is the seal, and we know that nothing could break that seal, then we know that we have that guarantee as a member of the body of Christ that we're going to remain in the body of Christ. You know, no matter what it is that, you know, if we think that we could do something bad enough that could take us out of it, the Apostle Paul tells us that there is nothing we could do that could take us out of the body of Christ. Because if there really was something that could take us out of it, even if we never intended to do what it was, the natural man would lead for us to actually do whatever it would be that would take us out of the body of Christ. That's why it has to be the Spirit that functions as the seal to keep us in the body. We see, as long as we're here in the book of Ephesians, we'll turn a couple chapters over to chapter number 4 to see how Paul again is going to state this fact of this guarantee that we have here, and here in Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to read verse number 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And as he talks about the practical issue of for us to grieve not the Spirit, which just means that, you know, don't do the things that are contrary to the doctrine that's laid out in Paul's epistles. And Paul's saying, you know, this is what we're not to do, but he's saying that it's the Spirit that has, you know, that's functioning as this seal, and it's keeping us in the body of Christ, and it says, unto the day of redemption. And that day of redemption is the day that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for the church, for the body, to redeem it, to bring us up into the heavenly places. That way we can receive that glorified body and also receive the rewards that have been promised for us. And that we have that guarantee of that we're going to be kept in this position as a member of the body of Christ up until this time. And we're kept in this manner because, and not because of anything that we have done, but we're kept as a member of the body of Christ all because of what he did for us. And we see how Paul talks about what he has done for us. If we go over to Colossians chapter number 1, we'll see how Paul's going to identify what it is that has been done for us here. And here in Colossians chapter number 1, we're going to read here verse number 14, which says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." As a present possession, we already have the forgiveness of sins. The sin issue has been taken care of. And because the sin issue has been taken care of, the only thing that we can be seen as is being the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you see how Paul describes the whole idea of what has been accomplished for us. If we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and see how he describes something here. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, when you see, we're going to start in verse number 16. It says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now we're going to stop there for a moment and how Paul's describing this, talking about an individual being in Christ. And we know that the only way that somebody can be identified as being in Christ is by the fact that they have put their trust in the gospel message that's been given to us for today, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 1 through 4. When somebody has put their trust in it, this is how they become identified in this manner. You see how Paul describes that we know no man after the flesh. We are made a new creature. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. Then Paul starts to discuss how this information has been committed unto us to be communicating it to other people. And you pick up here in verse number 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Again, we're going to stop there for a moment, we see how in verses 18, 19, and 20, the Apostle Paul talking about how this message of what has been accomplished for us has been committed to us, that way we can be able to go out and share this information with other people. You see how he describes it as a ministry of reconciliation in verse 18. He talks about how what's been committed unto us is the word of reconciliation. So there's a message that's been given unto us. In verse number 20, he identifies that we are ambassadors for Christ, that we are functioning as an ambassador, communicating the information that the Lord Jesus Christ would want this world to receive. And that information is the gospel message for today. All of this information given to us, so that way we can be able to go out, share it with other individuals, so that way they could receive the blessings and everything that the scriptures identify that a member of the body of Christ has. And you see how the very last verse of this chapter talks about what has been accomplished for us here. Verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the whole issue becomes is that the sin issue has been taken care of because our sin was taken from us, so that way we could be able to receive his righteousness. So when God looks at us, he doesn't see us. He doesn't see any mistake that we've made. He sees the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And because he sees that righteousness, that's how we can become accepted, how we can be identified as being holy. All those different things that the first chapter in the book of Ephesians, when it talks about those spiritual blessings that we have, all of those things are a reality for us because of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross at Calvary and our identification with that fact. And because of that identification, the reality of how we're going to be sealed unto that day of redemption, sealed and kept as a member of the body of Christ, waiting for that event to occur. Now, unfortunately, what has happened for so many individuals is there is a struggle to really identify with the fact of that we have that guarantee of our salvation. And the struggle becomes over the fact that there are passages in the Bible that identify an individual losing their salvation. And because these passages are there, individuals try to apply them to themselves and say, well, see, this is why I have to worry about things and why I have to keep trying to perform and doing all these things to keep myself in a right standing before God. And we see one of these passages, for example, let's go over to the book of Hebrews, and we'll go to Hebrews chapter number 6 to see something that the author of the book of Hebrews says to the audience that he's writing to. And here in Hebrews chapter number 6, we're going to read here verses 4 through 6. Let's see what it says here. Verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 6. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. So the author of the book of Hebrews is talking about how there's these individuals that were once enlightened and how they've tasted of the heavenly gift, and there comes a point where these individuals have had something occur to where they're no longer identified as being a saved individual. And the result of that is that when they end up in that condition, the author states that they really have no hope, because the only hope that they would have is that they would have to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ again, which cannot occur. And because of that fact, there's no hope for the individual that the author of the book of Hebrews is speaking to, that if they lose their salvation, they can no longer be saved. Now, we know that the book of Hebrews does not apply to the members of the body of Christ today. The book of Hebrews is written to the Hebrews, and when you read through and read the context of the book, you see how there's all these elements related to the nation of Israel, talking about how their hope, the issuing in of the new covenant, the establishment of the kingdom here on earth, that's the reality of what the individuals that Hebrews is written to, this is what they are looking for. That's a completely different hope than what the Apostle Paul identifies for us as the members of the body of Christ. Because our hope is, as Paul's even describes it in the verse that we've been studying here, to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming. We're looking forward to being caught up in the air to be with Him and to rule and reign with Him in the heavenly places. And that's why the whole focus of what we see in Romans through Philemon relates to that heavenly promise and what it is that we're looking for as the members of the body of Christ. Paul identifies this whole idea. If we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, we'll go back to the chapter we were in a few minutes ago to look at a different verse here, to where Paul's going to describe what it is that we are, you know, looking for in here. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, we see here, starting at verse number 8, where it says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." This is what the members of the body of Christ are actually looking for. We know that we're going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord at some future point in time, and how, as a result of that occurring, that we're going to be appearing before the judgment seat of Christ, ready to receive the reward based on what we have done. This is how the good works actually have an impact in this dispensation. You know, where for the nation of Israel, their good works actually determine whether they're going to be saved or not. The good works, and the good works being done according to the doctrine laid out in Romans through Philemon, those good works, when an individual, you know, if they do the right things according to the doctrine, they're going to build the gold, silver, and precious stones. When an individual does the wrong things, which Paul identifies and calls it, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and that whatsoever is not of faith is the word of God that produces faith. The word of God rightly divided, the doctrine laid out in Romans through Philemon, that if a person goes contrary to that, they're going to build the wood, hay, and stubble. And when a person builds their wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ, all the things are going to be tried by fire. Wood, hay, and stubble are going to burn away. Gold, silver, and precious stones are going to remain. And we're going to receive a reward based on what it is that has actually remained at that moment. This is what we are looking for. This is what Paul describes. If we go over to the book of Titus, and let's go to Titus chapter number 2 to see how Paul's going to describe this here in this book related to what it is that we're looking for our future hope. And here in Titus chapter number 2, we're going to start here at verse number 11 and read down through verse number 15. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." And so you see Paul describing this, talking about how the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So all of mankind have access to the salvation that is being offered, because it's the grace of God that's bringing that salvation. It's the grace of God that's going to, as verse 12 identifies, teach us, you know, there's the right things that we're supposed to do. There's the wrong things that we're supposed to avoid. And it's the grace of God, the doctrine laid out in Romans through Philemon, that's going to identify that for us. And it's the grace of God that lets us know that we're looking for something. We're looking for that blessed hope. So there's a hope that we're looking for. And we're looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. This appearing that we have been discussing, how Paul identifies here in the to the assembly in Thessalonica about how they're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. That's the appearing that he's telling Titus about here in Titus chapter number 2. Now, Paul also identifies that associated with that appearing is going to be a hope that he's speaking of. And when we look at that idea of the hope that the members of the body of Christ has, the hope that we have is that we're going to receive a glorified body that's going to be able to exist in the heavenly places for all of eternity, so that way we can rule and reign with him, as the scriptures actually identify that what that promise for us actually is. Now, that's what we have to look forward to. And that's, you know, as we continue on looking at this verse next time, we're going to look more at the idea of this hope, what it is that Paul is saying for us, and how we should have an understanding of what that is, so that way we can be able to share that understanding with other individuals, so that way they can understand the hope that we have and won't feel as, you know, when you see individuals really struggle with things, and they struggle because they do not have the understanding. And like I said, that's where we're going to pick up next week. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live on Facebook as they're being streamed there. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you ever have questions, comments about anything in our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.